and bound in the pit from which he drew his servants. So, you know, this is actually a very straightforward passage about the seventh trumpet, about the end. The seventh trumpet is when it, you know, that's the mystery of God's done. That's where the resurrection happens. That's when Christ returns. Verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went to the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said to me, Take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said to me, Thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. So there's the thing where he is told to take the book. He goes to get the book. He says, Give it to me. The angel says, Take it, eat it. An odd thing. Usually you read it, right? Well, it goes back to Christ where he says, You must eat my flesh and drink my blood. Here, give me the book. Well, take it and eat it. Devour it. Eat it up. He says, It's going to taste sweet to you, but in your stomach it will be bitter. And I guess I said, you know, I usually think of this in terms of the Bible. I don't know if that's what it really means, the Bible. If it means the book of Revelation, if it just means the mystery of God, which is finished, which is now an open book. The open book, which is sweet to the mouth and bitter to the belly. What does that mean? I'm thinking of it. I'm looking to God. God enlightened me. Because it seems to me that it means, I mean, it makes me think, okay, is it regret? Like, we're not going to totally like, we'll like it at first, but then not totally like it? You know, I don't know. I don't know what that absolutely signifies. But it does not settle well in the stomach. What this makes me start to think, as I pray in myself for understanding, is I think about, well, what's going to happen? After the mystery of God is finished, the seventh trumpet sounds, okay, he's standing with this book open, he declares it'll be no more time, he swears, you know, no more time that there's going to be it. But you know what? The mystery of God is finished, but there is still another 1,000 years before the new heavens and the new earth. 1,000 years more. And I think that the reign of Christ on earth that people are expecting is not going to be quite what people expect. It's not going to be, you know, people think of heaven and, oh, I was, you know, I remember that Monty Python years ago, that movie they did, the other one. Some people may think, oh, you know, I've done much worse things than watch Monty Python movies, okay? I think it was the one about the meaning of life. In the end, it was Christmas in heaven. It's Christmas in heaven. I mean, what a funny idea. You know, it's funny because that's how they present heaven. It's like this, it's always Christmas in heaven. And I thought, you know, in some ways they sort of nailed it on the head. It's the way Christians talk about heaven. What is heaven? It is the carnality of earth multiplied. You can eat as much as you want. Now, we're not like the Muslims. We don't have 40 virgins, but we have, you know, 40 kinds of cake, which is just as carnal. I don't, you know, devouring food and devouring virgins. In God's eyes, it's probably not much different, guys. Not much different. Not much difference there to a divine being. You can't control yourself. Indulgent. God doesn't want indulgent beings surrounding him. We're here to learn temperance. God is temperate. So, it's not going to be the heaven people are expecting, even after it's fulfilled. When the seventh trumpet sounds, you're going to have a 1,000-year kingdom of Christ. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan's going to be loosed out of his prison. He's going to go out to deceive the nations, and then he's going to deceive them again. So there's still a lot more to go at this point. When the seventh trumpet sounds, it's going to be very sweet. You know, when Christ returns, the resurrection, all the fulfillment of all those promises, sweet, sweet, sweet. But 1,000 years of his kingdom is not going to be what people think of when they think like heaven. It's going to be the kingdom and the kingdom of God. And when Christ was on earth, the kingdom of God was not what people expected then. When what he was preaching was not what they thought the Messiah was going to preach. What he was saying about the kingdom, they didn't like. And when it comes, people aren't going to like it either. Even some of the servants of God, it might not be quite what they expect. You think about the apostles when they were walking with Christ. You know, John, their mother asked, oh, ask that they could sit on the right hand and the left in the kingdom. And he's like, you don't know what you're asking. You know, and in the time of Christ, they were like, you know, in the kingdom, whose wife shall he be in the resurrection? They neither marry nor give in marriage in the resurrection. It is not going to be, at that point, there's still more bitterness to come. It's going to be sweet, but they're bittersweet. Aside from the loss and the destruction, there's going to be a 1,000-year kingdom in which, before the new heavens and the new earth, when all the tears will be wiped away forever. And joy everlasting. The 1,000-year period is not going to be necessarily joy everlasting. It's going to be a wonderful time, I believe. But it's going to also have a dark side, meaning because the devil's coming back. You know, and you think like, well, I mean, we're all going to know this, aren't we? Yeah. But it's going to be 1,000 years. And the nature of that kingdom is not necessarily, you know, people wonder, well, what's the kingdom going to be like? We're not going to get into that now, but it's going to be. And that's interesting. Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings, John. A friend of mine used to say, you know, what's that mean? He's going to have to prophesy again? And he thought in this world, but I think in that kingdom, he will be a prophet again. You will have to be a prophet again. You think your work is finished? And here's where the bitterness comes in. It kind of reminds me of when Jesus talked about, and I'm just going to paraphrase, you know, there's a master, he comes. What master comes home and says to his servant, ah, you have served me all day. Good job. Now take your ease. No, the master comes back and he says, rise now and serve me. You know, he doesn't come and thank you so much for having served me. He doesn't come thanking us for our service. He comes and demands more of us. That's what he will do. A lot of people aren't expecting that. They think Christ is going to come and we're going to suddenly be waited on hands and foot by angels or something. It's not what's going to be. No, no, no. Thou must prophesy again. Thou must work again. You will continue to do my work in the kingdom. What did you join the kingdom for? Just a free ride. That's the thing, is that people, they want to be in the resurrection just to get saved. Saved for what?